everyone. I'm back in my studio in Germany after being in the US, in Redmond, visiting the team in last week and the week before that. And this week, obviously, we had the very exciting release of the Service Bus Notification Hubs. And so I spent most of my days this week, getting the tutorials together, etc. Last week, I also spoke with MK. He's going to say his name himself in the full glory. We call him MK. And MK is the development manager. He's the boss of all developers for Service Bus. We sat down and we talked about the roles of the developers in our team, and also what to expect if you're a junior member on the Service Bus team and get in, and what you get to own. So I hope that's an interesting thing. One thing that happened during the recording of this was, unfortunately, the camera cut out just before the last question, so the end is going to be somewhat abrupt, but I think nevertheless this about 12-minute clip is going to be interesting. Also, what am I going to have at the end, or actually what I have down here on the Channel 9 blog post, is a few links that you might be interested in, because we have job openings on the Service Bus team, and so you might want to go, if you're interested, you might want to go and take a look at those, because the most jobs we have open are actually on the dev team, and so that might be interesting. So enjoy the interview with MK. So today I have here, you say it,
Muralidhar Krishna Prasad. I go by MK for short.
Yeah, so that's what we call you, MK. All say right. That again.
Yep.
Just for me.
It's fine. You got it.
So, MK is the boss of all developers for Service Bus.
So
we're organized in this. Already mentioned that in the talk with Abhishek, we have this triad of
dev, test, and PM.
Exactly, and so your guys are building everything, and then Cesar's guys. Cesar, you haven't seen Cesar yet. It's coming. Are trying to pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
So we have a fairly interesting challenge in the Service Bus team, because we're shipping a fair number of things. We're shipping a service,
right?
But then we're also shipping a server.
That's right.
So walk me through the way how a developer kind of gets his work, and then kind of how that ends up in the product.
Sure, sure. I think it's probably a long topic, but let's see how we attack it. I think first thing to understand is, like, what are all the things we're shipping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So typically, the service ships on sort of a monthly or 6 weeks cadence, right? That's
mm-hmm.
our typical ship cycle.
Yes.
For the service. And even within that 6 weeks, we sometimes have hot fixes that come in,
mm-hmm.
which could go once in a week or once in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Right? So that's a typical kind of cadence
mm-hmm.
for that. And then the server, interestingly enough, tries to ship around a six-month cadence,
mm-hmm.
right? And one of the interesting aspects of the server, I think we're, as you know, one of the few services which has a complete hybrid story.
Yes.
Where we have a service and a server, and actually the same SDK, the client, can actually work against both.
Yeah.
Right? And so that presents a bunch of challenges.
That's right.
And the first of all, the way it works, I'm sure you've probably talked about it a bit before, the planning process is, for every one of the six-week milestones, we go through a planning process for a week or two, where we figure, okay, what can fit in that milestone, and what do we need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's where the PMs come in, help figure out, okay, here's the priority for it, this is what we need to do. Right?
Right.
And these are either external commitments, or fundamentals, or new features that we would need to add.
Right.
And once that is determined, that milestone proceeds, but at the same time, we also have hot fixes that may come in as part of the lifecycle. So the way we do it, we track it either as the current milestone delivery, what
mm-hmm.
are all the work items left, or the bugs left, right? And also in parallel, we track the hotfix delivery.
So lifecycle is things that are happening
every day,
in, service.
Day out. Correct. And
yes.
This was one of the things that I think we kind of had a bit of a challenge before, as to how do we figure out, like, the time needed for the lifecycle, because lifecycle can pretty much eat you up, right?
Yes, that's right.
If you don't. So one of the things I think now we're in a good state where what we have done is, for every week, we have a servicing loop from dev
mm-hmm.
to SPM for each one of the areas that we have. We have sort of broker, we have relay, we have notifications, we have platform. So we actually have sort of a triad of people for each of the areas responsible for that feature, right?
So we, what we did, so we broke up Service Bus into
separate areas of responsibility. There's from a PM side is, well, there's a PM for one of those areas, but you actually group a little team of folks.
That's right,
around
from a dev and test perspective.
Yes.
So like I mentioned, right, like broker deals with all the, some of the brokered messaging, mm-hmm. news topics, relay deals with all the relay functionality, notifications deal with all the push notifications. And then we have the platform, which deals with all the monitoring, deployment, management of the service, mm-hmm. and all the server artifacts, right, including portal. So that's kind of how it's divided. So then it was easy for us to then allocate people every week to say, okay, from this team, you three are responsible for the live site or mm-hmm. whatever feature, whatever platform feature for that week. And so that actually made us the planning much better, because mm-hmm. we know we can rope those people off for that planning. So we know they cannot contribute to the coding or development or testing thereof. Right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of made it a little more sane during planning.
So if I'm a developer on this team, what
right.
is the, how's my autonomy in the team? I mean, I get, obviously there's things that need to be done kind of
correct,
part of the grand plan.
That's right.
But kind of the deliverable is effectively a line item and a notion of a feature that a PM specs out. And the specs are not 100-page documents these
right.
days, they're just
right.
smaller.
Correct.
But then the dev is basically, it's up to the dev for how to do this, right?
That's right. I think the way it works is in some sense that triad takes over even at that level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like some IC running around somewhere trying to figure out what to do. So as like we talked about, we divided the feature areas themselves, right?
Yes.
And within the feature, also there's sort of a triad, right?
Yes.
Let's say we take a specific feature like, I don't know, like message browse, right? There will be like a PM owner for it, there is a dev owner that I see who is responsible for the feature, and there's a test owner for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those three get together to then figure out what needs to be built, how should be built, and how should be tested, and when should we release it, is it
yes.
ready or not, right?
But
so in that sense, yes, the dev has a certain amount of autonomy on how to design the stuff,
mm-hmm.
how to get it out, subject to the thing that there is some plan around, hey, we need to get this feature out by this time, right?
Yes.
But
as the kind of, so me being the, let's say, long-term strategy architect, and you being the day-to-day
right.
actually factual
right.
Back-end feature architect.
Correct.
I mean, that's kind of our role, that
right.
how we split the roles between
correct.
Ourselves. We don't get into the way in too much in the way
absolutely
of,
not,
of how that
yep.
of how that works. I mean, they come to us and ask us.
Correct. So in some sense, I think we are all just guiding people, right?
Yes.
We're not trying to tell them, okay, you do this code, you should do
yeah.
it this way, right? It's more of a making sure people take the whole thing into account. Right.
Yes.
Like, because you're doing one feature, it definitely affects everything else, right?
Yes.
So how do you know what you're doing and how does it affect everything else?
Okay.
And making sure the process doesn't get in the way
yeah.
of doing good software.
So there's a check. I think the best way to describe it is this checks and balances thing.
That's right.
Where the team is doing their work, and our developers are not coders. They're
right.
They own the design of a particular piece.
Exactly.
And then there's a...
They own the design, they own the development, and the follow-up of it, the maintenance of it.
Yes.
If there are issues with it, they're really responsible.
Yeah, they don't hand this off to
someone else
to service.
Yeah. Actually, that's a big difference, right, between a server and a service.
It used to be like that,
right?
Yeah.
You have AC or other teams
yeah.
taking over, but no longer the case.
I mean, you see the... Actually, with the on-premises software, it kind of still is sometimes like this.
Correct.
New things get developed.
Right.
And then
it gets handed off.
Everybody has
team.
A party.
Yeah.
And then they all leave for greater
yeah.
challenges.
That's
and then
right.
there's a servicing team that takes over and just deals with the bugs.
That's right.
And so we don't have
that. We don't have that.
So
in some sense, every code that goes in, the person writing
you
is really responsible.
Yes, you're on the book.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And in some sense, that actually is leading to different kinds of coding as well, right? Which is a lot more tracing, a lot more rigor in terms of what you're doing, because it's going to come and bite like right away.
Yeah, I mean,
so
if the system goes down on a Sunday, like
nobody wants to be woken up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's 3 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday, and nobody knows how that's well, your phone will ring because
right.
that's your bug.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And I think that's a good way to kind of build
right.
the right muscle.
Yeah.
And then the fact that everybody goes on that servicing loop is actually
that's right.
Helpful.
See, that's another interesting thing I've learned, right? Like building a service, I think this is my fundamental understanding, is that a lot of what we know in traditional software is what to do, how to write code the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But in services, often the other way. You've got to be more careful of the exceptions and making sure you do all the other things that you were probably never, you in universities or wherever, we don't deal with exception handling as one of the courses or one of the big things, right?
Yeah, that's
in
right.
service, I found that it's really the other way. It's not about what you know, it's really how to handle the code. You can't just fail fast. every fail fast costs you a 0.01 in your reliability, right?
Yeah, I did a talk in Belgium that I also referenced from my blog. They did a 3-hour recording of this,
right.
Which I started with an iceberg, feature of an iceberg, where you only see the features that we build are really like the little tip of the iceberg that comes out and sits in the sunlight.
The real stuff
other stuff sits under the covers, and even in the code, if you count lines, then the actual feature.
Right. It's
just a minuscule part of
the everything scaffolding around it, right?
Yes.
In fact, I think we learn more about what not to do,
mm-hmm.
more than what to do. Because what to do, you know, in a traditional sense, it's like what not to do, I think, is a big learning in some sense.
So if someone were to be interested in working here...
Oh, yeah, we have lots of
<Yeah, laughs>
absolutely, apply right now.
So first of all, we have open positions, right?
We have
open
positions, yes.
What's the? I mean, we have in the development team. There's a structure of there's junior people and there's more
senior people.
Senior people who come into the team who are senior because they have built up the skills of knowing how to work in an environment like this, or senior people just because they've been here for a while.
Right.
What's the progression when you come? Let's say you come out of college and you join the team.
Very good question. So it's in some sense follow up from your previous question as well, right? In some sense, all the senior people are there to lead
mm-hmm.
and help you prioritize your decisions, not come in the way of making the calls,
mm-hmm.
right? And as a college student, when you come in, you're gonna start on some small project, right? And based on how much you can do, you're gonna get bigger and bigger projects and how successful you are.
Yes.
And even I think probably the lowest level person we have actually owns a fairly big feature
mm-hmm.
Because we are a fairly small team, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, there's a lot of learning to be had. And one of the things, good thing about Service Bus, you probably covered it, it's more the platform and an end user service.
Yes.
Right? Meaning customers are directly using us as a service
mm-hmm.
from devices, from clients, from servers,
right.
from Azure, everywhere, right? And also we are a platform for a lot of the other services like Office and other things that are
mm-hmm.
built on us, right? So in that sense, we get the best of both worlds. So as a dev or as a test or a PM, you get exposed to all of this, customer calls or platform calls. And so your skill set, you sort of grow in how do you run a service at scale across all the data centers in the world, built on rather VMs that may disappear on you anytime, built on all the other technologies in the cloud that you need to be resilient about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, learn about how to build a platform, build a new cloud platform, because that's a new thing that all the companies are trying to do,
right?
So those skill sets it grows on you, right? You
mm-hmm.
learn. So then as a dev, whether you're senior or junior, you come in, the first thing is you get your hands wet, right? You start building these projects, there are enough projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you go through milestones and milestones, you learn what to do, and with the guidance of all the other senior folks out there, right? You just be successful and you just go through the ranks. And then you can be that senior person one day.
Yes, and but also the I think in the dev world, like if you are really into coding,
right?
Unless you are you,
coding is important. Yes.
Yeah, but unless you're really the manager of managers, which you are, like everybody's coding.
Oh yeah, everybody's coding, including the leads, right? So pretty much yes, coding is one of the key things that we need, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a dev and. It's also understanding the design, not just blind coding, but also understanding the implications of what you do. I think that's equally important.
Oops! So, unfortunately, the camera cut out, as I said, so that's as much as we have. But I thought it's interesting, again, at this post at the bottom, there's a few links that you might want to follow. And otherwise, if you're interested in working in the Windows Azure team in Redmond, you can go to careers.microsoft.com and search for Windows Azure, and there's a broad number of opportunities to come and help out.